And record.
So let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for this time together. And once again, we ask you to be with us and guide our conversation, open our hearts and minds to your word. Give us some fresh insights into what you have to say to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Start reading. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. I guess since it's been so long, it's talking about, I think it's leading up to discussion about some impending judgment and discipline for Israel. Says they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. That's verse 22 in chapter 8. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, which at the first, when at the first, he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. The joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. This is really difficult language. Is it any clearer in your translation?
Not too much. I mean, where do you want me to read from? Verse 3?
Read verse one.
All right, let me see if this is any clearer. So nevertheless,
See, I'm going to get my JPS and follow along. I'm reading from the King James, and it's like, wow, almost like a foreign. Usually the King James doesn't bother me at all, but
well, let me
this is
see
wild.
if mine has any elucidation. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoiced before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Is that a little better?
Yeah, a little better.
All
Yeah.
right. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's the passage that they use for the Christmas
Yeah, Messiah is
story.
part of the Messiah.
Yeah.
In fact, even this thing, the people that walked in darkness, that is also one of the arias, so to speak, in that Messiah. And so that both of those parts are in it. And of course, yeah, for unto us a child is born is one of the big ones.
Yeah. I'll just continue reading, I guess.
Yeah.
The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. The elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burns as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns and kindle in the thickets of the forest. They shall mount up like rising smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land is burned up, and the people shall be as fuel for the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall devour on the left hand and not be satisfied. Every man shall eat the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh shall devour Ephraim, and Ephraim Manasseh. Together they shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still.
Yes. All right, let's see. Let's see if we can go over this little bit.
Now, the overriding theme that we're still focusing on is prayer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
If we can harvest, find, references that would support that, we should definitely look for those. Let's start with that. Are there any that we can see?
I didn't see any reference. Myself.
Well, there's one in verse 13. Where it says, "For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts."
Yeah.
It's like he's saying the people are not, they're experiencing all this discipline and judgment, and instead of turning to the Lord, they continue to ignore him, and they're not, instead of calling on him and seeking him. So I think you could say in some way it's related to prayer.
Yeah, that's a good point. In fact, that's what was I was thinking about when I was reading, especially like in verse 10, where it says, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them. And isn't that exactly the attitude like at 9/11? It's like, well, we're just going to
Oh,
build
yeah,
something.
definitely.
It wasn't
They
a
keep
call.
saying that too. It wasn't just at 9/11. You've heard that expression, "build back better." They
Yeah.
use it all the time. And it wasn't a one-off thing. It's like every time there's some disaster, that's what they say.
Yes. Yeah. It's this defiant, we're just going to come back better and stronger. Whereas it should be a call to repentance, just as this passage says, right? The verse you referred to in 13, right? It says, for the people do not turn to him who strikes them, and nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. It's like they just ignore him and say, well, that tragedy happened. We're just going to build back better.
And verse 9 tells you what God's appraisal of that attitude is. It says, "And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the stones are falling down, but we'll build back. We'll build with hewn stones." So it's identified specifically as an attitude of pride.
Yeah.
So I think that is another one. Let me just give it a quick look. I don't see anything specifically that I could relate to prayer
No.
specifically. But that was important to know. And I think it's one of the key passages here in this section. The other thing to note, I think, is that so much of Isaiah is talking, almost everything in this is about the Messiah in some way. You know, it's talking about the events that'll happen before his appearance and his return. And the events here in chapter 9 have multiple, like most prophecy, have multiple fulfillments. There was this specific first fulfillment, which had to do with the invasion of Israel by the Assyrians. And I think it also might have reference to the time when Jesus was on earth prior to the Roman invasion, because there was a lot of the same characteristics that are being described here. If you read the Jewish appraisal of the disaster of the destruction of Jerusalem, they attribute it most specifically to the infighting among the Jews, how they were fighting among themselves with all the different sects, which reminds me of verse 17, where it says, "Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly." And then it goes on to say, "He shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, feed on the left hand, they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm." In other words, they're attacking each other, but not realizing they're attacking themselves in the process. And I think this ultimately is pointing still to a future fulfillment for some of these things, the final days before Christ returns.
I completely agree with that.
Because you see
Interpretation.
in the first couple of verses, it's very hopeful. It talks about the good news first. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. In fact, Jesus quotes that regarding his own ministry. That's why I say the multiple fulfillments. Because it says, "Thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. For unto us a child is born." There's the promise of redemption from all of the tyranny that Israel's been subject to because of this child that's going to come and be the mighty deliverer that they've looked for. And this goes on to the blessing of the whole world, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end on the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice,
I think
judgment and
that's
justice.
the problem.
What?
That because the Isaiah says that, that's why the Jews don't accept Jesus as the Messiah.
Why?
Because it's of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end.
All right, you got to explain that a little more. I don't.
How could that have been a fulfillment if he was crucified?
Oh, not if you think that's the, not if you don't believe in the resurrection. If you don't believe
But
in the
even so,
resurrection, that would be a big problem.
I guess my point is they were, I think, looking for the Messiah to be somebody to establish authority, and there would be no end to that. If you're crucified, well, that's the end. And so, therefore, how could you be the Messiah?
Like I say, that would be true. The argument is good, but that wasn't the end.
I know that. I
We
mean,
know,
we know
I
that, but I can
understand.
understand why the
Yeah,
Jews
I
would have
can
a problem
understand.
with that.
Sure. That's what is generally the argument that's given. You know, how could Jesus be the Messiah Because the Messiah wasn't supposed to be crucified. At least that's what they say. But there are other passages that, of course, could be argued over later on in Isaiah that say just the opposite, that he
Oh,
will be.
and there's a ton of Psalms that say that as well. So yeah, I get that. I guess it's just their interpretation of that. Well, should we read
Yeah,
10?
let's read 10. I'll try again. Woe to them that decree unrighteous decrees and that write grievousness which they have prescribed. That's a verse that is in, not exactly, but it's very similar to some of the Psalms. And I'm going to read it from the JPS. It says, those who write out evil writs and compose iniquitous documents. I think in the Psalms it talks about those who, what should I say? Pray. I wish maybe I can find it. Maybe I can find it for you because it's so good. Hello. I think I just read it this week, so I should be able to find this. No. I guess not. Sorry. Something about they write out, they create laws to do unjust to create injustice by writing laws to that are unjust, which sort of reminds me of what this is.
Yeah.
They decree unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, to turn aside the needy from judgment and to take away the right from the poor of my people. That widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which will come from far? To whom will you flee for help and where will you leave your glory? Without me, they shall bow down under the prisoners and they shall fall under the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Who do you think he's talking about in this first part?
I don't know.
I think it's pretty much in line with what Jesus was complaining about to the Pharisees, about the way they treated the law of Moses. Where it was treated hypocritically, where it was used in an oppressive way that didn't, take the whole situation into account or
Yeah,
try
that
to
makes.
restore the people who had gone into error.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees.
Robbing, turn aside the needy from judgment, take away the right of the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey. So he's warning the religious people who are acting in hypocritical ways. And then he goes on to talk about the nations. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. God is going to use Assyria as the means of judging Israel. Very consistent with the way God tends to use the nations. And this is repeated throughout the Bible where because he controls all of the nations, they can be turned to do whatever his will is, whether it's blessing or judgment. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. In other words, the nations who are executing God's judgment aren't aware that they're doing that.
Yeah.
For he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish, or not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven image did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria. In fact, that's one of the things that when I think when Jerusalem is surrounded by Assyria, they're boasting, you know, what do you tell Hezekiah not to think that he's going to escape. Weren't we able to destroy all these other nations? Their gods didn't help them. So
Yeah.
it's exactly what was being said there. Shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. That's the other thing that is consistent with God's means. When he does use a nation to judge another one, they're still held accountable for what they do and their attitude and actions.
Yeah, that's interesting.
For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, I have removed the bonds of the people and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. Again, there's pride here on their part that's being manifested. And so they, on the one hand, they execute God's judgment, but they incur judgment for themselves.
Yeah.
And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or peeped. And then God says to them, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Whereas God is saying, I'm the one who's hewing with you. You're the axe, and you're boasting against me like you could have. All this was what you did.
Yeah.
Shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself, as if it were no wood? Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of the fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his holy one for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as one a standard bearer fainteth. And the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child may write them. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all the land. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the Rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. It says, I have a reference here to Psalm 105:15 for that, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I'm just wondering what that's referring to. Let's see if I can find it. 109. And going backwards. Yep. 109:15 says, "Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth."
I have 105:15.
Oh, it's 105. That's more like it. Saying, what is that? 105:30 is saying, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Okay. I guess what he's talking about, the anointing means his anointed ones, which are his people in general. And God is again going to judge them for that. He's come to Aiath, he's passed the Migron, and Michmash, he hath laid up his carriages. They're gone over the passage, they have taken up their lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid, Gibeah of Saul is fled. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galim, cause it to be heard unto Laish, O poor Anatoth. Madmena is removed, the inhabitants of Gibeah gather themselves to flee. And yet shall he remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bough with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. Well, we know that this was fulfilled at this time, because that's spoken of later on in Isaiah when it talks about how the Assyrians do attack Jerusalem and then they're destroyed by God. There probably is further or application or fulfillment of this, because again, we're reminded that once in the future that Jerusalem will again be surrounded by armies. And so there may be a reference to that, Lord intervening again a second time. And that's exactly what's prophesied. So, you want to take 11?
There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel to gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also, the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim, but they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind he shall shake his fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over dry shod. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt.
Well, this
I've
is
always
definitely
loved
tough.
that passage, 6 through 10. I've always liked that. Like all of these things that we experience here on earth won't exist
Yeah,
there in
total
heaven.
transformation of nature.
Yeah, it's like how it says the leopard will lie down with the goat and the wolf with the lamb and the calf with the lion. And it's like, I love how it says they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. It's really cool. Yeah, you're right. It'll be all of that, the curse and sin will be removed, which would be amazing. Amazing.
I'll read 12:2, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things, this is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. I think this show in verse 2 particularly shows the restoration of Israel into God's favor when they do recognize his anointed one. When they say, Behold, I'm going to read this
Yeah, because mine says, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song.
And that's a lot of he, but this last phrase, he has also become my salvation. I think I pointed this out the other day. I wish I want to find it because this is Isaiah 12. We're in. Well, Isaiah 12. What verse? Oh, two, where it says, Behold, the God who gives me triumph, I am confident, unafraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and might, and he has been my, and it, what it says in the Hebrew, it says, and he has been my deliverance, but it says, Vayehi li Yeshua. In other words, he's become to me my Yeshua, which is Jesus' name, which is incredible that it says it that way. God is, it's consistent because it's the name Jesus means salvation or deliverance. So
Well, you want to take 13? That was a short
sure.
chapter.
Yeah, because it's not long. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. What you're going to have now for several chapters is these pronouncements against different kingdoms, God's judgment on them. So this one, we're going to start with Babylon, the big one, the head. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones, for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Hallow ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his goings forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the gold wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chased roe, and as its sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which will not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellence shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and the houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her day shall not be prolonged. Well, this is interesting. Most of this is quoted by Jesus when he's talking about the last time, the stars and the
Oh,
constellations should not
that
give the
part,
light.
yes.
Yeah, that part.
Yes.
Now, the dual significance of this, the immediate historic fulfillment is in verse 17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. Remember when Belshazzar was in his having this big feast, drinking from the vessels from the temple, and the writing is on the wall. Your days are numbered, and the kingdom is about to fall, and that night the Medes and the Persians destroyed Babylon, took it over. So there was that immediate fulfillment, but I think there's obviously something in the future implied here. The prophecy that Babylon would never be inhabited has so far been true. It's the Babylon is not a city anymore. Or if it is, it's not what it was. I mean, I don't really know if there's There might be a small village or something in that area or something, but the city has
But
never been
it's
inhabited.
not an empire,
No.
right?
But the reason I'm saying that it must be a future, I think what Bible is talking about now is this, the spiritual significance of Babylon as the seat of Satan in the world government. Because Babylon was, in essence, in Daniel's vision, representative of all the world governments, because they were the head, but the whole image was the image of this evil, that this worldly kingdom that was going to eventually be destroyed by the stone that comes out of heaven and smashes the feet, and then the whole empire, the whole thing is destroyed. Because in verse 20, but in verse 22, when it's talking about the fact that Babylon, the physical Babylon, will be a place where the wild beasts of the islands will cry, and in her time is near to come. Well, if it's already been destroyed back in what, like maybe 500, 600 BC, what is he talking about? What are they, how can, and in Revelation, when it says Babylon has fallen, doesn't it say it become a haunt of the wild beasts?
Was just thinking about that.
So it's something in the future that's going
Yeah,
to be
absolutely. I
like
was
that.
thinking about Revelation myself because it definitely appears in, I mean, Babylon appears in Revelation.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, that was the chapter. So do you want to stop there?
Yeah.
Okay. So we went all, we're going to be on Isaiah 14 next time. We'll make a note of that. Okay, John, we can, I guess, turn the recording off. Or do I need to do that?
I got it.